Well, today, as they say, the Monday of before Easter, Monday of Holy Week, we begin to see the plot thickening. And particularly, we see the plot thickening in the direction of the two camps that are kind of, you know, polar camps, you know, that are being, you know, established. On the one side, you have Jesus and the apostles, and of course, his incredible relationship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And as you kind of look at that whole camp, the sense you get of just looking at that is there's real love there, there's warmth there, there's tender concern for one another there, there's great friendship there, there's light there, and there's peace there. I mean, you can just feel it coming off, you know, the page, you know, the way John has kind of set up the dialogue with these characters. And then on the other side, you have two people. You have Judas Iscariot, and you have the Pharisees, who are now even plotting not just to kill Jesus, they want to kill Lazarus too, almost as it were reversing the very act of Jesus raising him up. They want to kill him and make that dark too. So you've got, when you start looking at Judas and this very aggressive Pharisaical camp in Jerusalem, who's kind of out to get Jesus for their own sake, what you really feel is darkness. What you feel is the absence of warmth. What you feel is a kind of an emptiness. What you feel there is investing themselves in autonomy and power and you know, this idea of almost, you know, self-importance and of course, you know, the accusation against Judas is so stark, you know, he was a thief and just would help himself to the contributions. So he got these two polar camps, and the way John is setting it up is light and darkness, you know, warmth and coldness, right? I mean, love and, you know, domination, self-interest and power and self-aggrandizement and self-worship. So you've got this two-fold thing, and he wants us to feel these contrasts that are present in the world. There's no doubt in Jesus's mind, right, that the dark camp is going to look like it has its victory, its day. But of course, as Jesus already has plotted in his own mind, I shouldn't say plotted, but planned in his own mind, Jesus already knows how he's going to overcome Satan, how he's going to turn their tyranny and their darkness into light, how he's going to make it an ultimate gift of himself, and as an ultimate gift of himself as the Son of God, it'll become the unconditional act of love which will definitively defeat Satan. There's no way he can ever win again in history, and at the end of time, Satan will have to be banished to hell, and that's where he will stay. The victory is going to be won precisely through the means of, his self-sacrificial gift. Now, Jesus is completely aware of it, but the agents of Satan, namely Judas and the aggressive part of the Pharisaical party, they are unaware of this. They have no idea that in a way they're playing into Jesus' plan to make this unconditional act of love for the redemption of the world complete. They have no idea because they don't understand things in terms of the logic of love. They only understand things in terms of the logic of self. They don't understand things in terms of the logic of light. They only understand things in terms of the logic of darkness. It's completely eluded them what is going to happen. You know, checkmate is about ready to happen, but they do not see it because, of course, they think only in terms of power. They think only in terms of their own glorification, through domination and through their acts of selfishness. And so what John's trying to do is draw this up you know, and show, of course, Jesus is in control of history. Satan is literally going to crush himself by trying to crush Jesus. He looks like and believes that he will have the ultimate victory. But of course, in a sense, Satan must know that in some way, right, you know, the checkmate is already there. God's not going to let his son, right, be defeated. Yet he can't help himself. He's going ahead with the logic of hatred and the logic of darkness. He's going ahead with the logic of jealousy and the logic of arrogance. He's going ahead with that logic. But of course, it will defeat itself. It will undermine itself. And it will literally eat itself so that it implodes on itself. And of course, Jesus will then come with the ultimate victory, which will be revealed in his resurrection, with, of course, the unconditional act of love given by God's Son himself for the life of the world. And this is the irony that John's trying to set up. He wants us to feel it. He wants us to enter into it. It's filled with confusion, but at the end, the victory is Jesus's. At the end, the victory is the Lord's. In the end, the victory is light and love, and not, of course, the logic of darkness and hatred. And that, of course, well, we feel it every day. We're pulled in various ways, but we know Jesus will win, and we must place our hope in him. Amen.